RB leads the charge, the king of the show. Leek's got the hustle, always on the go. Petty D stirring, bringing the heat. Foley's new school, keeping it elite. Penguin stays chill, smooth with the flow. Freak's got the stats, every number you know. JD's the boss, rocks small takes. PTD's the show that debates and shakes. One the disruption where opinions collide. Hot takes, sharp minds, no place to hide. Questions, bold moves, every angle in play. PTD's the league's voice, your highlight of the day. It's PTD breaking through the static. Harden and disruption bringing all the magic. It's PTD breaking through the static. Harden the disruption bringing all the magic.
What's going on, everybody? This is Lick. I'm here with Freak and Andy on an episode of PTD for Friday afternoon. Leading into what I definitely for me is going to be one of the biggest college football weekends so far on the season in real college football, as well as we have some big matchups left on the table in the NDL. Lots of conferences that still are undecided. We do have some that are decided, but their opponents aren't. So we got mix and match and stuff, and that's what we'll talk about today on PTD. Freak, how are you doing today?
Doing great. Going to be fired. Let's go.
Already job searching. What about you, Andy? How are you? Are you joining Freak, right? Are you guys like on the tour together? Like the job search job tour searching. Together?
I've been job searching ever since I lost to Vegas back in like block two.
Just on that national job suit search.
Yeah, I could only lose three games. So when I lost two games, I knew I still had Smitty and Jiggy coming up. I was like, oh, well, I'm probably not going to win all three of those.
But it's like Tommy Boy 2, right? Fans,
I'm all ready for tomorrow night.
Freak and Andy driving around on Tommy Boy 2.
Yeah.
Not exciting stuff. We'll jump right into it today. We'll kind of talk about the first one we're going to talk about is the conference championship races over there in the American Conference right now. Memphis is clinched. These are notes from Freak. Memphis clinched some potential opponents, Tulsa, Charlotte. Freak, who do you see as being in the American Conference championship?
I'm not sure of the tiebreaker between the two because they both did not play each other. My thinking is I already know that Tulsa is going to get a sim win because they have a coachless opponent left, but I wonder how it's going to shake up with Charlotte and seeing if maybe Charlotte can sneak his way into that conference championship.
Yeah, I think the conference championship for the American, if I'm not mistaken, they actually use the CFP. I know they do that for the tiebreaker between the two because it's a home field game. For the championship, that's a home field game, and I know that tiebreaker is a CFP based. First it's conference percentage, right? But if you're both undefeated or you only lost one game, then it would potentially. But I know that I think that's how the tiebreaker plays out too, is that they would go to CFP if they both lost the same amount of conference games. So that would be interesting. What about you, Andy? Who do you think is going to face off against Memphis?
So, did you say who they were playing yet left, or?
Per the notes, I know that Tulsa has a coachless opponent, so that's going to be an automatic win. And Charlotte has Tulane and Sudden Blues.
I'll say Charlotte. I honestly haven't followed those couple teams enough to know like who, but you know. But I'll just get
started. What about South Florida? I know DK's got a lot of games to play. He's got like six games, but he's got Florida Atlantic. He's got a game against Joker. Yeah, there's no way that Memphis is clinched because South Florida plays Memphis, and South Florida hasn't lost any games.
I'm just going by assumption because he has six games to be played within. Gotcha. 5 days at the very moment. It's not officially clinched, but USF has, if he wins out, he definitely takes Memphis' spot, and I believe then it goes down to Memphis, Tulsa, and Scotty, and Charlotte, if Charlotte wins their matchup.
Yeah, and I know Memphis beat Tulsa already, because South Florida's got some big games still. They got all their users, all the teams that they have to play show users. And so that'll be really interesting how that plays out. That's a lot of games left to be played in what the deadline's next Wednesday night.
Yeah.
And so I'm not sure what DeCane's plan is, but yeah, so there's still a lot to shake out there in the American. Well, let's jump over to the ACC. I know we were talking about a pregame. Homie was in here visiting and stuff and talking about his big matchups. Because obviously there is the potential for a five-way tie in that ACC, depending on how this NC State and Georgia Tech game plays out. And many would say that the ACC is probably looking at two teams in the conference, in the college football playoff. And so there is a potential that whoever's the second best team in the ACC is probably going to be in the college football playoff. Clemson, obviously, in that championship game. Now, who is your second best team in the ACC? Who do you think is going to play in that conference championship, Andy?
This is without, like, analyzing the schedules and knowing who has the tiebreaker over who. I don't really know the ins and outs of all that. I'll say Jumper and Duke, only because I know he can do some crazy things with that offense. And I mean, I don't know how the tiebreakers will lay out enough to, like, you know, what favors him and whatnot. But if I had to pick just straight up team wise, I think I'll just take him.
Yeah, and what about you, Freak?
It's interesting because the five teams, if I'm not mistaken, what are NC State, Louisville, Duke, Miami, and Boston College. Boston College is always a very tough opponent. Not sure of who he lost to in regards to conference. But I'm going to go with Homie and NC State because it's win and you're in. If it comes down to a loss, I would personally go with Miami to make it in.
Yeah. So just to give you guys an update on the tiebreaker, I think that if NC State beats, if they win out, when they play Georgia Tech, if they win, I think they're in based upon the tiebreakers and stuff. And yeah, I see Block M, who I would definitely trust, knows that tiebreaker, says that if NC State beats Georgia Tech, they're in the ACC conference championship game. And if I had to pick two teams just based upon their product to work and stuff for this season that were going to be in there, that's probably who I'd want in there is Clemson and NC State. The reason being is NC State beat Duke, and that'd probably be the third team that I'd be looking to get in there. Pretty impressive. Boston College would have been really interesting to see Boston College getting that ACC championship game, right? They're sitting at 4-6 right now, 4-2 in conference, playing one of the toughest schedules in the entire NDL. And so it would have been really interesting to see that, because they would have potentially, if they get in, you know, one of those ACC teams would have potentially benefited from the loss. So now the question I'm going to ask you really quick, Freak: Clemson, NC State play in the ACC title game. Either one of those two teams loses, are you still putting them in the college football playoff championship? Not the championship, but the playoffs.
If NC State loses, I would not be putting NC State in the playoffs. However, if Clemson were to lose, I think they have more than enough value to be considered maybe that 11 seed, but there's a lot of teams. So I'd be 50-50 on Clemson being in, but NC State lost, I'd say no.
Yeah, I guess that's a whole nother question is if the playoff committee would penalize a team for losing in that championship game.
It depends on what the playoff committee would do. I've always been pretty adamant, real life and this, you should not be penalized for making the conference championship. It should only benefit you. So if you weren't in and then you win, and then you're in. If you were in before you played the extra game and you lose, you shouldn't be out, because you won the tiebreaker over somebody else. They didn't play the game, and then they benefit from it. Like there was a scenario, like I'm pretty sure he was saying it like tongue in cheek, where Marion was like,
if I lose a game, I'm in, and I lose the tiebreaker to get into the Big 12 title, I'm probably still in at 11-1 without having to take the chance of playing the conference championship and losing. You know, like I said, it's like a tongue in cheek thing, but like it's like for real life, SMU last year, I thought they should have been in. Obviously, they went out and got stomped in the playoff, but you shouldn't be penalized for playing in the game and losing.
And I said it the other week on game day, and I'm pretty adamant that I think that if anything is ever going to reward you, there should also be some type of potential penalty. Okay. And so college football can't just be an all reward thing. There's some risk and reward, right? And so I don't think it's fair to tell a team like, hey, we're going to allow you to have this platform, the college football championship for your conference. We're going to allow you to have this platform. Win or lose, if you lose, it's not going to hurt you at all, though. If it's not going to hurt you at all, like that just seems silly. Is that though? That's a game played. It's something that the committee can look at. Is that two very good teams are playing each other in a conference championship? Why can you not put some weight on a loss? And the reason being is that it's not like it's clear cut that this team, either one of these teams, is undefeated right now, could potentially lose. Right? These are teams that both have two losses. Okay, you have a Clemson team that lost to two SEC teams. You have NC State, who lost to an out-of-conference Notre Dame team and then lost to an in-conference Pitt team that's unranked. And so if either one of those teams loses, they're going to have three losses. You have to be able to weigh that. I don't think you can say, well, it didn't matter because he made his conference championship. I mean, there's got to be some type of a way to weigh the, you know, if they win, you get to use it for you. It's an extra game to display and to give a resume. And if you lose, then that's kind of the risk of being in it.
I don't think you get to use it for your resume. You win, you're in, just because the rule is you win your conference championship.
But that's for the most part, that's not true anymore.
It's the top. Well, yeah, it's still true. You still get, it's still best five conference champions are still in. It's just not for the bye.
Well, yeah, but that's what I mean, is that if you're a really bad AC, I'm just going to use ACC because it's the very first conference that's pulled up that is on here. If these two teams have four losses, they may not be one of the top five conferences.
Yeah, I mean, that's the case for sure.
Because Missouri State may actually be one of the top conferences if you're talking about a four or five loss conference championship.
It still will, because you get five. Missouri State will be that one. Yeah. It would come down to like a Boise State or Memphis or someone like that.
And so, but I mean, it is an interesting argument, and I'm sure the committee members, they talk about that stuff, and is how much weight do you put on a conference loss. I think you still get to go out and display, you know, what you have against a good team. And I'm sure the manner in how you lose is always going to matter, right? You know, if one of the teams goes out and lays an egg, that could potentially matter too. So I think it'll be interesting. We'll jump over to the Big 12 real quick, conference preview. It's pretty much with Oklahoma State coach leaving because he's having a baby, like physically, I think he's a girl. And having a baby, the Big 12 CC conference preview is basically Iowa State versus Utah. Like, who do you guys have winning? Who do you think is going to win this?
I think Marion's going to be too much for Penguin. I have the Utes winning. I'm going to say 27-13.
They played last year, obviously different rosters, and Penguin won. But I don't know who Marion said he's more focused this year or something like that. So he's on the rampage.
He's on his ODU tear.
Yeah, I mean, it's always tough because like, and I've definitely done it where like I don't know how I haven't paid close enough attention, but I feel like Marion's schedule hasn't been crazy. And I'm not saying, you know, I guess that I don't know his schedule off the top of my head. Sometimes when you get into the lull, and he has been playing a lot of scrims, sometimes when you get in the lull of, like, you play users who aren't on your level, you kind of get into the lull of, like, this stuff works. And then you start, then you play somebody else who, like, is, and you're like, oh, crap, I can't do that anymore. And you forget what works. So, you know, sometimes not having a hard game in a while goes against you. That being said, I think I'm still going to take him. But for the revenge tour from last year, because Penguin knocked him out of the conference championship last year, it was Marion was winning in, and then he lost that game.
That'll be a pretty, I think it's a pretty evenly matched up game. It'll be pretty exciting. I don't know that Marion is very battle tested necessarily. This obviously everyone was looking forward to that Utah State game and stuff. And then, man, when Penguin loses, you know, a couple Penguins loss, he had a giant loss that wasn't close. And so it'll be really interesting how that matchup plays on a jump into the Big 10, the Big 12, or maybe the Big 10. Apologize, the Big 10. Real quick, we're kind of just moving because Freak's got to go here pretty soon. Big 10, no one's clinched the CC game. There are a ton of big games left in the Big 10. You got Oregon traveling to USC, Washington. USC playing Oregon and Illinois. Ohio State playing Illinois. Illinois travels or hosts Ohio State, plays USC, plays Washington. They get a sim win against Indiana, it looks like, with Phoney. Who do you guys have playing in this conference championship, Andy?
I'm going to take the chalk with Oregon versus Ohio State, only because I just those are the two best teams, two best users probably. They've both played the big games in the past. I think those are the two. If it's not those two, I'd be surprised.
What about you, Freak?
I believe I'm going to have to go with Andy. I would love to see somehow Ohio State, Illinois match up twice, and be in the championship. I don't think that's possible. So I'm going to go with Oregon and Ohio State.
I would say Illinois getting in to the conference championship and winning could create some chaos because they have three losses.
Yeah.
Yep. So that would be one where, like, is he?
Well, he has two losses. He's 6-2.
Okay. Yep, yep. Maybe I might have been thinking about something else early in the year.
No, but he had a big game. You're right, though, Andy. Though, because if he does win out, even sitting with two losses, gets to the conference championship game and loses, he's gonna, even if he lost in that, he's gonna have some pretty quality wins. But that's where we were talking about, where a couple teams that potentially were gonna make it in didn't, and so they're gonna steal a bid from someone, you would assume.
It'll be interesting.
I'm gonna change my picks. I'm gonna go with Oregon and Illinois. I believe Illinois can pull off the crazy upsets and make it. I am that dumb guy that loves upsets, so let's see that happen.
Man, I think that Oregon, okay, I think Oregon may lose to Washington at the end of the year. Reason being, Washington's one of the toughest stadiums, one of the top 25 stadiums to play in, right? It's tough. Oregon's got to go on the road. Steam plays a lot of games close, right? He's a good coach. He's going to pull an upset there, and it's going to kind of turn the tables on everything. He's going to give another one loss. You have Michigan State sitting out there, right? You got Michigan State sitting out there with one loss. We have the Maryland and Michigan State game that hasn't been played. I thought it was getting played the other night. I don't know what happened there. But I mean, from the outside looking in, man, USC's was the one that beat Michigan State towards the beginning of the year. Michigan State's been on fire. Talk about chaos, though, right? If Oregon slips up but then beats USC, right? Because then you give USC that second loss, and I just think that I want some chaos, and so I think Washington may upset Oregon. I think Ohio State's going to take care of business against Illinois, but I think USC is going to lose against Oregon and Illinois, and there's going to be some chaos. You're going to have a couple one loss teams there.
Breaking news: the Maryland Michigan State game is 9:37 Eastern tonight.
Oh, there you go. Kickoff on FS2, Fox Sports 2 tonight, Maryland, Michigan State. So we'll just jump over. I know Freak's probably going to have to jump off, but Missouri State's clinched, playing either Jacksonville State or Middle Tennessee State. Do you see Missouri State losing in its conference championship game, even if it has to play Middle Tennessee State again?
I mean, it could happen. He's obviously a good user. It could happen, but I'm going to say he wins just because he's already undefeated. But it's not like one of those things where I definitely saying like he's definitely going to win and be in. He would be one if he doesn't win. I don't know if he gets in at 12-1 as an at-large team. Like I don't know if the CFP has. I can't remember where they had him in the last one, where if he was a top 10 team. In the poll, because if he doesn't win the conference, he would not be theoretically in as an at large.
Yeah.
Oh wait, doesn't that hurt him? Isn't that like the same case for the conference championship? Shouldn't hurt you.
It's not, because he's not a top 12 team. He would be in the CFP if he wins the conference, because he would be the best conference champion, theoretically, or fourth best, whatever it ends up being.
Yeah, and if he loses his conference championship, he may allow like the AAC champion to squeak in there. The Mountain West, you're not going to see any of them in unless Nevada runs the table somehow.
Currently, the closest is Akron, ranked number 25 in our coaches poll.
No one else was ranked in the CFP that was in that was a group of five team, as far as I remember.
No, they Missouri State was 16. So
yeah, so they theoretically are they done with their games? Are they 12-0 done?
In the Missouri State,
they're
12-0.
Yeah.
So I guess they played games at the last release, but unless they move them from 16 to 11, you know, they don't win their conference, they wouldn't be in.
Yeah, because Jacksonville State. So Jacksonville State is gonna get. It looks like potentially
he lost to Middle Tennessee State, and he's gonna get three.
He's going to get three sim wins, but he lost to Middle Tennessee State. So the tiebreaker will go to Middle Tennessee State. Potentially. But Middle Tennessee State has some games left. They have to play Sam Houston and then Old Skoola. So he does have two user games left, potentially. So, but
I apologize. I got to get it off, but CD has me laughing. I always thought Akron was Akron. Apparently, it's Akron.
Akron.
Oh, actually, I don't want to get off my ball.
What'd he say?
I don't know.
I said, I don't have to get off. My boss is gone for the day.
No, there you go. Okay, we'll jump into the next topic then. Okay, we hit on the Conference USA. Let's talk about the independents. Where, to you, does UConn play in all of this? They're undefeated at 10-0. They're putting in a great season there. Where would you have them at on your list, Freak?
I haven't looked at all their opponents that they've played, but it's impressive that UConn is back at 10-0 again. I think he may have a chance to somehow jump in there, at least jump in the conversation if he goes undefeated. But it is Connecticut, so you can't officially say they're in without, unless it's basketball.
What about you, Andy?
So I missed that question. You guys kind of broke up.
Where do you have UConn on your list? They're 10-0. If he goes undefeated, sitting at 12-0, where would you have them?
I don't know all the metrics. Without the conference, like if you look at Missouri State, they don't have the conference. They're not in. So I don't know. I feel like without the conference as an at-large team, I feel like you can't.
So UConn plays NC State. That game hasn't been played yet. That will be their only ranked opponent this season that they'll have played. Obviously, if you go and look, their strength of schedule is really bad. Their opponents are like 30-60 or something like that. His opponents are. He plays the 111th worst. He has the 111th strength of schedule. But obviously, that NC State game is huge, right? Because if he beats, let's say NC State wins their conference championship, wins ACC championship, and he beats the ACC champion, how are you not going to put UConn in? Like, we saw how the college football playoff committee last week, how they ranked the ACC, right? They rounded out the bottom of the playoff picture, right? And so they're putting a lot of weight on what their resume is.
Yeah, I don't know. I still don't know if you can put him in without as a non-conference. If he was in a conference, if he was like say in the ACC or even whatever you want to pick, like the Conference USA, and he gets it, wins the conference, sure. But I don't know if he can be I don't know if that's an at-large team.
So would you say the same for Notre Dame? Okay, then? They're not in a conference.
They're not, but they have a much better resume. Much better resume.
Do have a better resume. However, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, he's playing UConn, which would be a common opponent. If UConn, for whatever reason, gets into that conference championship game, wins or loses, a lot of people would have him in the college football playoff. And if he beats him, I don't know how you would potentially leave him out if you're going to put in a bunch of other ACC teams that he potentially may have beaten, you know, someone playing in their championship. So I'm saying, if you're putting a lot of weight on the ACC and he beats the ACC, wouldn't you lump him in there with those teams?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because it's one game. It's versus playing it week in, week out. We'll see what the committee would do, but I would say that he would not be in personally. It's an at-large, it's a top. I guess it would, you know, be a top 12, 11, 12 team.
That's right. It paints a whole different picture if he is able to upset NC State. Obviously, everything goes away if NC State takes care of business and beats Georgia Tech and then beats, ends up beating UConn. But that's a big game. That's a big game, that UConn game, because NC State could potentially go into the ACC championship game with three losses, too.
I was saying, and then if that happens and then they win the conference, are they then in that, you know, fifth best conference champion?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and then you're
let's go UConn.
Hey, I like chaos, I'm all about chaos.
Yo, I love the chaos.
So how about the MAC here? Let's go to the MAC, which many would consider, probably the toughest mid-major conference from top to bottom. Many would consider that, just based upon strength of schedule, opponent record, and stuff like that. Obviously, the way things are kind of shaking out right now, we have Akron, whatever you want to say, Central Michigan, Eastern Michigan, right? And then you have Western Michigan up there as well. Who do you guys think are the best two teams in the MAC?
I mean, Akron's been. Who did he lose to? I feel like he's been rolling. He was rolling early in the year, then he lost to Fired Up Chip. Okay, and then we obviously know Chip's been around forever. Chip has the best win, I would probably assume, with the non-conference Michigan State win. I don't know if any of those other guys played anybody, so it's hard to say. Well, Eastern Michigan's had a good year too.
That was Chip's one of Chip's losses.
Yeah, I've seen Eastern Michigan. He seems to run the air raid, and there was one of those things that the air raid in this game is like high risk, high reward in terms of you can score 50 points in a game, but you can also throw six picks because you just threw the ball 40 times.
Yeah, because Western Michigan had a big win the other night. They won the Michigan MAC Trophy, beating Western Michigan, beat Eastern Michigan, which obviously had huge implications in the MAC. Giving them one loss, and then you obviously have Western Michigan sitting there with one loss. You have Central Michigan sitting there with one loss, and then you have Akron sitting there with one loss. So we have a ton of one-loss teams in the MAC. I think Western Michigan still plays Ball State, and then they play Florida Atlantic. So they have the UMass sim, the Western Kentucky sim coming up. To where Central Michigan has a big game next Thursday night on BB&B against your Washington State Cougars. But that doesn't affect the conference at all, and they'll get a sim win over UMass. So they're going to finish the season in conference at, I think, 7-1. Isn't UMass still an independent?
I don't know how that works.
Well, maybe not, because all these MAC teams have them on there, so they've got to be in the MAC.
They moved to the MAC this year, but I wasn't really sure about the conference rules. I know sometimes things are wonky with the first year of a team moving over.
So I'm not sure what the tiebreaker is, but you're going to have four teams with one loss in the conference. It looks like that's how that's potentially going to shake out, is you're going to have four teams in the conference with one loss. So, I mean, I don't know if any of the listeners know what that tiebreaker is, or who's playing in it, but it sounds like a mess, right? Chaos, which we love. Four teams there with one loss. Pretty crazy. They're going to finish the season with potentially, they are going to finish the season with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It looks like four teams with 8 or more wins for a mid-major. And then they're going to finish with what, 6 teams that are 500 or better, 7 teams, 500 or better in the conference. That's pretty good for a mid-major. That's pretty good for a mid-major conference. Now, Man, so we'll talk about the SEC. That one's already locked up. You got Alabama and Texas, two teams that have absolutely steamrolled throughout the season. You know, Texas's closest game last night was to Andy throughout the season. Andy had not to rub it in, Andy, but, you know, Georgia and Andy had several chances to take kind of a commanding lead over Texas. Lots of chances and stuff. But Texas was able to come up and make plays when they needed to on the offensive side of the ball in the final 3 minutes, as well as make some big defensive plays and goal line stands that completely flipped the momentum of the game. Who do you guys have winning the SEC championship game, and do they become your favorite to win the CFP? Freak.
Oh, do they become the favorite to win the CFP? That's a tough question. I feel as if both Texas and Bama are unstoppable. They both have great coaches. And speaking of Bama, we got Bama just joining now as we talk about them. I'm gonna go with Texas. I think Jiggy is a very good coach. He knows how to mix it up and find each team's weakness. So I believe Texas would win it, as well as I believe he would become the CFP favorite.
So the question is what do you remember what it was? Texas was one in the CFP, and Bama was what, three, or were they two? I don't know if anyone.
I can find out for you.
The question becomes: does the loser of the game lose their bye?
Number two.
Yeah. So does the loser of this game? So if it's Bama, does the loser go from 2 to 5, and then lose their bye? Because that makes a massive difference in terms of how important this game is. Last year it was you had to win the game to get the bye. Now you can still lose it.
So that's the thing. Now, Bama, if, for example, either Texas or Bama loses, how far do they drop? Do they drop out of the top four? And
yeah, they very easily could. You've got other undefeated teams there. I honestly think they
would. This would be an interesting thing to look at, right? So I'm just going to use Texas because they played some out-of-conference opponents. So Texas played Clemson, right? And so I'm talking about teams that the CFP are going to compare. Let's say Alabama loses. I just use Alabama because they're number two right now. If they end up losing to Texas, let's say the game's close. Let's say it's a 3-point game, goes down to the very end of the game. Okay. So Texas plays Clemson, ACC potential champ. Okay. That game was not close. They lost by 32. Okay. He plays Boston College, close game, 10-point win. Okay. He plays Illinois, right? Some of you guys think they have the potential to be in that championship game. Not even close, 48-17. Okay, so he plays those three teams at a conference, absolutely demolishes. There hasn't been a close game the rest of the season except for Andy's game the other night, which ended up being a 10-point win. Okay, so if you're let's say Alabama loses by three, is there the potential where they're still the second-best team? I mean, that's going to be the question, right? If they lose by three, there's still a top-four team.
In
my opinion, I think I would probably still stick them in the top four without, off the top of my head, having everything in front of me. Obviously, yeah. 10 champ, if they're undefeated, they'd probably stay ahead of them. ACC champ wouldn't. Big 12 champ, if it's Utah, you have a question, but there's not three teams to put ahead of them to put them at five. So he is probably safe, but it's at least a question.
Because then let's say Alabama wins and it's a close game by three or something like that, I mean, it's still hard to discredit everything Texas has done out of conference, right? They've beat Clemson and Illinois, two teams that are that potentially, right? Illinois could lose three games and it's not going to matter, but if they are playing their conference championship, he would have beaten two other Power Four conference champions, Texas. How would you not say he's better than, you know, if one of those teams win? Now, if NC State wins and Illinois doesn't win their conference championship, then it's kind of a mute point. But just something interesting to think about with two teams that have locked up their, you know, their conference championship. Two good coaches. People were no matter what, a loss, you're still seeing those teams in. We'll jump onto the Sun Belt really quick. I think it's Appalachian State and Arkansas. I think App State finished on just a heater too. If I'm not mistaken, they went undefeated in their conference. Brady finished at 9-3, and I think you have Arkansas State. Man, the Sun Belt. I'm sure you guys have been watching the Sun Belt. They've put together some great teams in the Sun Belt over the course of the last five seasons. Okay, but it's always a lopsided conference because of their stupid divisions. So you have 9-3 Appalachian State potentially playing a 6-5 Arkansas State Red Wolves team. Who do you have winning?
Right. If I remember right, at least the Arkansas State had some rough non-conference to start the year. I'm pretty sure he might have started like 1-4 or something. I remember him. Everyone was like shocked about how bad that was starting before he kind of turned it around a little bit.
Yeah. So Appalachian State's losses came to Delaware week one, who Delaware doesn't even have a coach anymore. Then came to Louisville, and then went to Texas. Right. Like, so I mean, those are games that you wouldn't expect to win anyways, and then he's completely rolled the table. He did just play Dealer and beat him by 10, 38-28. And then you have Arkansas State, lost the Big Z out there in San Diego State, lost the Decane out in South Florida, lost to Missouri State, Jose, and then lost to Georgia Southern. So his losses have been all his losses have been to mid-major teams. And then obviously lost to Brady. He still has another game left against Louisiana Raging Cajuns. And so you could potentially, the winner of that game has the potential to be in the championship game because he'd have the tiebreaker head to head against them. They both have two losses if Ninja was to win out. So, but man, I mean, some exciting matchups there. Did anybody else have anything to say about the college football playoff picture?
All right, now
it's very interesting.
So here's a question for you, Freak, before you leave real quick. All right. If you were in charge of the NDL rules right now and you could make any one change, what would it be and why?
Eliminate jumbo sets anywhere from the 20 to 20.
Now define your jumbo set.
No receivers on the field, and take QB sneaks out of it. This ain't the tush push. We're not in the NFL.
So no jumbo sets, basically, until you get in the goal line and into the red zone.
Correct. That's okay. How I would see it.
Okay. What about?
But that's just me. That's just me thinking of something off the fly, real quick.
Yeah. Now, what about you, Andy?
Isn't that already?
What's that, Smitty?
You can do it on short yardage, so you can do it on like third and inches or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought it was already a rule.
No. Yeah, you can do apparently. It on third and inches, third and one. I forget the exact semantics of it.
Fourth and inches, fourth and one, too. It's a very interesting rule.
Yeah.
Now, what about you, Andy? You can change any rule.
This is my question, but like, I still don't have like a great answer. The only thing I can think of, so we obviously get a lot of high-scoring games. Passing offenses are fly up and down the field. There's a new thing you can do in this game, which is stunting. We got rid of the stunts. So the thing with the stunts is the stunts can kill the passing game by getting pressure real quick. The way to beat the stunts a lot of times is to run the ball. So there's kind of like a way to, you know, there's a little bit too much high flying offense. People say they want get some more clock control drives and whatnot. That's if you want to run a stunt on every play, I can run the ball down your throat whenever your D tackles are twisted and your D ends are twisted and frees up a lot of space.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that that's something that definitely should be looked at in the off season is the different types of stunts that you can pick because. Mm-hmm. We clearly lack defense in the league lately, right? Just look at the scoreboards.
Defense is hard, and I feel like we have more restrictions on defense than we do on offense.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if I was to pick one rule in the NDL, and the rule that I'd want to change is and I know no one is going to agree with this, but I'd want no hot routes. No hot routes on offense and no hot routes on defense. And the reason I say that is that I just think that you're, like you talked about, Andy, you're allowed to do things on offense when you start stemming routes and stuff. that become unrealistic in real life because of the way I know receivers can kind of change their depth on their routes. But there's also route combinations that just don't work because you put two people in the, like in the video game, one of the best routes ever is to get your receivers to run into each other because the defense loses its mind, right? In real life, if two receivers run into each other, chances are one of, I mean, you saw what happened to Xavier Worthy the other night, right? Dislocates his shoulder when Kelsey runs into him. In the video game, the guys run into each other and they just keep skating around on ice. And so, but I just think eliminating the amount of hot routes and stuff that you can do. I know we have like three and stuff like that, but I just think eliminating that would make the most sense. And that, but that's just me. And I know how hard that would be to police and stuff. But at the end of the day, I just think that we tell people to mix it up, right? In the NDL, just like mix it up, don't run the same thing. But you'll watch people's streams and they'll do the same hot routes on defense every single play. They'll do the same adjustments every single play on defense, even if they're in a different coverage.
They do more than just the same hot routes. Let's just say that.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying is that it just becomes pretty repetitive when you say, hey, you can't run so-and-so over and over and again. But then on the defensive side of the ball, that's all they do. And same with offense, right? Like you don't run these routes all the time and guys come out and they hot route into those route combinations the same time every time. It's just different receivers. And so, I mean, there's 500 plays in your playbook that you can put in there, right? And I think it's like 460, right? Because they account for special play, special teams and stuff like that. So you have like 460 plays you can pick in your playbook. I don't think that you need into hot routes, right? Because you can find a route combination that you want in those plays. That's just my little piece. So
I don't hate it. I would say I would at least allow one. Because like if I see a blitz coming, I just know my play's not going to work. Like I might want to get a dump off somewhere kind of deal. But three does you can call a play that had like a hook route, and then you can call a completely different play after because you can hot route three times.
Yeah, and see, I think that's what the audibles are for. Is that you come out and you see a team?
The thing is, the audible. It's going to be tough to tell on stream what's an audible and what's a hot route. I guess would be the.
Well, the whole play is going to change if you audible.
But I don't know if I'm playing my opponent, I might not be able to tell what's a hot route and what's a.
You'd have to go back and watch their stream because to do a hot route, it's only going to pull up the one guy on the display. If you do an audible, it pulls up everyone's play art and it shows the four plays.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it'd be interesting. I mean, I know there'd been talk about the fourth down rule and how it's geared up for offenses. I can't imagine that, like you talked about, Andy, is a lot of the rules that we have in place really gives leeway to the offense to score more points in the game. It's extremely hard to make stops.
It does run for fun. I feel like a lot of people were determining how much fun they have in this game by offense. You look at, we had some people leave this year, some older school guys leave because they're, you know, not having as much fun. It might be they're not having as much fun because it's on Heisman and offense is a little bit harder now. But
I think offense is easier. I don't know.
Offense is not harder on Heisman. Yeah. Offense is not harder.
But I think some people have more trouble on offense, and then I think people determine how much fun they had in the game based on did they score 35 points or if you score 35 points and lose 42-35, I feel like you had a lot better time than if you lost 14-10. I think that's my assumption, at least. I mean, to look at people who are playing the game. I think that's the only reason why there might not be more restrictions that make offense harder. Could be wrong. I don't know.
Do you... Hey, Vic, we have you on here real quick. Hey, who's your Heisman winner right now, if you had to pick?